Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The two cousins battling right there. SGA wins out. Timeout, Minnesota.
All right, that was from game one. Wolves get crushed by the Oklahoma City Thunder. Welcome back to the Lake Show, and let's talk and preview game number two between the two teams, which takes place in 30 minutes from now. None other than the professor of hoopology himself, Double T, Trent Tucker, an NBA champion himself. He joins us courtesy of the John Schuster Call Banker Hotline. Double T, I watched game one, disappointed in the way that the Wolves played. What was your overall, we'll get into some specifics from that game, but what was your overall assessment of game number one?
Well, you know, the Wolves came out and I thought they played the right way against Oklahoma City's defense. Oklahoma City is pretty good in terms of if you're trying to take them off the dribble on that first move. They're very good at taking away your first move off the dribble. And how the Wolves got out to a good start, they came out and they made three or four quick passes, and then Jay McDaniel got wide open for 1-for-3-point shot and then for a 15-footer. You have to beat Oklahoma City with the pass. The ball can move much faster than the players. You have to get them in a situation where they're scrambling and they're trying to recover to shooters. And that's going to open up driving lanes for the Wolves from their standpoint. They are very, very good, and you have to respect them for their one-on-one defense. But ball movement and player movement will all of a sudden now weaken their defense and allow you to find some open spots and some open shots.
You're spot on, Double T. You saw exactly. That's why you're so much the professor of hoopology, because you see it clearly and you're able to explain it in that way. Because when I'm watching the game, and everybody saw it, the world saw it, when we had the isolation stuff and when Ant's trying to back people down, or specifically Julius Randle trying to back people down, stuff like that, they're so good defensively, especially help side defense, that's not a way that we're going to be able to win this series. You just hit it right there on the head. We have to move the basketball, have them defensively trying to figure out who's going to take the best shot. And we just have to have them off kilter there. All this stuff about trying to back people down and this, that, the other, that's just not going to work against them because they're too good defensively as a team and as a core.
They are very good. They move their feet very well. You know, they can keep their bodies in front. And all of a sudden now the officials are allowing you to bump a little bit more so they're able to fight over those screens. And when the Wolves had some success, I was watching a clip today. DiVincenzo got into the middle. He made a pass to the corner. They rotated. The guy in the corner made a pass to the wing. They rotated. Then they hit Julius Randle wide open for a 3-point shot. So that's the way. If you can play that way more times than not, where you got player movement and ball movement, all of a sudden now you break down your defense. Anytime you get a defense that shifts, that's when you can find some driving angles and also some open shots.
How would you describe, or at least in your opinion, how Anthony Edwards played on Tuesday? Because I was not impressed, but I do say that with the asterisk of I saw him go down there in that first quarter. He went to the locker room. He came back out. He did play through it, but we need him to be aggressive down the stretch, because if he's not aggressive and late in the game or in the second half, then I just don't know if we got a shot.
Well, they're going to have to find a way to get him some easier shots and the things you and I are talking about. You got to move him around. You just can't make him a stationary target. Oklahoma City is very good when they can locate you. All four guys now knows exactly what you're trying to attack from, and they can take those driving angles away. You know, there was one sequence I thought in the first half they brought him off a single or a stagger screen where he came off of two guys and got a wide open jump shot. That's the type of action that they are going to have to go to free him up, because it's hard to face the set defense time and time again and beat guys one-on-one or one-on-two or one-on-three. There's only so few guys throughout the history of the NBA that have ever been able to do that consistently. And one of them was number 23 by the name of Michael Jordan. And there's no Michael Jordan on the basketball court at this time.
When you look at Rudy Gobert, who has played well here in the postseason, is there any way to have him be a positive contributor in this series? I know that defensively, I still have faith that Rudy's going to have some sort of impact. You just don't have as many Defensive Player of the Year awards and not have any impact at all. But offensively, what do you think about Rudy?
Well, you got to take him out of the pick and roll situation. It's because when he sets the pick and roll and they trap the pick and roll, but he's a non-offensive factor at 25 feet. So I would run the pick and roll with Julius Randle. And I would move the pick and roll off the top of the key and move it down to the sideline, get it below the free throw line. So now when you come off the screen, if they trap, you got one bouncer. Now you got the guy rolling to the basket where he can make a play off one bounce. Now Rudy Gobert is on the opposite side of the rim. If a shot goes up, if his man leaves to rotate over, now that's going to free him up for some offensive rebounds and some putbacks. But if he's going to set that screen at the top of the key, and if Oklahoma City don't trap the pick and roll, that's bad defense by them. But if they continue to trap the pick and roll and Rudy Gobert has the ball at 25 to 26 feet, that's bad offense for the Wolves. So I would like to see them make that adjustment so that now he can get into the game doing the things that he's done so well is by getting second chances and keeping the ball alive to get some second opportunities as well.
Who needs to be the most important person coming off of that bench? Is it Naz Reid? Is it Nikhil Alexander-Walker? Or is it Dante DiVincenzo? Which one of those three needs to have the biggest impact?
I think from a confidence standpoint, Nikhil Alexander-Walker. You know, he shot the ball well throughout the regular season against Oklahoma City, but throughout the playoffs, he has not shot the ball well. So I think from a confidence standpoint, if there's one guy that needs to have a good game, it's him, because they are going to need him throughout this series, because he is going to be open for those open three-point shots. And when you're trying to get to an NBA Finals, those guys coming off the bench, they have to be productive.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. We're talking to Trent Tucker here on the Lake Show on News Talk 830 WCCO. Let's turn our attention to OKC for a second. That's the opponent. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the MVP of the league. Just your thoughts on who needs to be the person that we focus in on stopping outside of Shai. And the reason why I say it that in that way is because, Double T, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander against the Wolves this season, I believe, is averaging 37 points a game. He's unstoppable for the Wolves. So who needs to be the person that we need to lock down? Because I think that the guy that is their, questionably their second best player, but he can be very inconsistent, is Jalen Williams.
Well, the Wolves can defend them off the dribble. Oklahoma City, they don't have a lot of guys who can beat you one-on-one. Their offense is predicated on forcing turnovers, getting out in the transition, getting easy baskets in transition, or opening up the three-point shot in transition. They want to try to break you down, and they want to drive and kick. I think the Wolves can play them straight up one-on-one because Jalen Williams is not going to beat you off the dribble. And when he catches the basketball, make him drive the ball to his left hand, because he wants to get to his right hand any chance he have a chance to make, and when he's trying to make a play. But I believe the Wolves should be confident enough that they can defend this team, take away the open three-point shot, and just tell Jay McDaniel, hey, you got SGA. He's your man. We know that he's going to score, but we need for you to play hard and tough defense and stay out of foul trouble. Just contest as many shots as you can, is because the more that the Wolves don't have to double-team, it's going to help their overall defense to slow down Oklahoma City.
Do you think they win tonight? Do you think they get it done?
You know, it's not a must-win for the Wolves. You want to leave Oklahoma City, you know, with the ideal in mind on how we can beat this basketball team. It's because, you know, it's a seven-game series, and anytime you don't have the home court advantage, you're saying that I have to win at least either game one, game two, game five, or game seven. I have to get one win. So that I'm telling my team that we have four chances to win one game on the road. if we take care of business at home. So don't put too much pressure on yourself, whether you win or lose tonight. We want to win for sure, but we want to go out and play the right way. We want to come out of this two-game road trip with an idea on how we can beat this basketball team.
Do you think they win tonight?
I believe they can. I believe they can. Oklahoma City is a very good basketball team. You know, so they didn't win 65-plus games because they weren't good. And they can beat you, and they can win this series, and everybody knows that. But the Wolves are also good enough to win this series as well. They just got to figure out now. I think the best way for them to win is to make sure you get ball movement and player movement. All of a sudden now, you know, you're going to find the open shots that you're looking for. Your offense becomes a whole lot much more comfortable. Your confidence goes up, and that's going to give you a great chance to win. So I think the Wolves can win tonight, but, you know, if Oklahoma City wins game number two, the series is not over. There's no need to panic. As long as you believe that you left Oklahoma City after these two games with the idea on how to beat this team.
All right, I can't let you go without bringing up last night what happened at the Garden. As a former Knick, come on, man, what happened there? Double T, I know you were watching, and I know you were like, well, let me ask you this. When Nesmith started knocking down the three after three after three, were you getting nervous, or were you like, nah, the Knicks are going to pull this out? Because I started, when he hit the third one, I said to myself, man, this feels like the Knicks are about to choke. And then, fortunately, the play at the end when Halliburton made the shot, fortunately, it was a two and it wasn't a three because you get it into overtime. But then in overtime, the Pacers just seemed to want it more and they made more of the clutch shots. What was your take on that game? Because that was wild.
Well, the Knicks thought the game was over. You're up by 14 with 2 minutes to go. It seems like the Indiana could not stop them from scoring. And it was just like, we're just trading basket after trading baskets. And if we continue to do this, well, then there's no way Indiana can catch us. But all of a sudden, Indiana became a better team on the defensive end. They got the stops they needed. They continued to make shots. And the Knicks just forgot to close the game out. And when they looked up at the scoreboard, with about 30-some seconds to go, he only had a 2-point lead, and it was like, wow, how did we get here? And once they got there, you could see them begin to lose some of their confidence. Now, they were playing not to lose instead of playing to win. And Indiana is a tough team, and well coached by Rick Carlisle. And when people talk about, you know, Halliburton being overrated, trust me, that kid though is not overrated. He is a very good basketball player.
All right, so let me ask you this real quick. I want to get your take on it. I'm not going to give you my take, okay, because I'm going to get into my take at the end of the show in the third and final hour. But there's been a lot of talk. I know Charles Barkley had a take. Other people have had a take about Tyrese Halliburton's dad, John, allowing him to, you know, come back game three, you know, be in the stands, be in the arena to cheer on his son. What say you?
Well, you know, he should not be able to come back because he crossed the line. And there is no room for what he did. And there is no space for parents to come onto the floor and do what, you know, he did to Giannis. I mean, Giannis could have easily punched him in the face. Or this guy could have seriously hurt Giannis as well. So I think based on the nature of the situation that took place, knowing that the basketball court is supposed to be a sacred place for the players, he should not be allowed to come back and watch basketball for the rest of the season.
Double T, you're the best, man. I appreciate it. Have a happy Memorial Day weekend to you and yours, and let's catch up soon.
All right, man. Lake, same to you, buddy. Go Wolves, right?
Go Wolves. I'm on it, man. I'm on it. That's Double T, Trent Tucker, joining us here on The Lake Show. All right, we will take a break and we'll come back. You know what's next? It's Bite of the Night. All right, Bite of the Night this evening comes from one of my favorite guys. That will be Jason Kelce, former center from the Philadelphia Eagles, brother of Travis Kelce.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
What's the other way to future Hall of Famer, because he's gonna make the Hall of Fame. He's one of the great centers to play the game.
Savor of the tush push.
He's unbelievable. He is on that list of 10 athletes I would love to walk into a bar, sit down, and just hang out all night and just shop it up.
I feel like he gets it.
Yeah, he gets it. He gets it. Jason Kelce, on their podcast, is talking about how the NFL has just taken over, and clearly the NFL is big business, and everybody's in love with the NFL, and they're just taking over all of the holidays, and essentially says, yeah, NBA, you guys are screwed.
And I'm also just a fan of playing on more primetime times. Like, that's when I'm watching TV, and I like it when football's on the television, so let's keep putting good football games on television when everybody's watching. I mean, I think it's just good for the game. Let's keep taking over all the holidays. We're taking over Ththanksgiving, Christmas, NBA. You're never getting that back. I mean, it's the way it is.
See, I don't. So this is my take on it, and I'm probably in the minority here. We all love football. We all love the National Football League. I don't need football on Christmas. I don't. The NBA on Christmas is my thing. It will always be a thing. I love you, Jason, but you can kick rocks with that take. And the reason why I say this is because I don't care. What's the best way to put this? I'll put it this way. This is as simple as I can put it. I view my day for football as Thanksgiving. I view Christmas, that's basketball. That's just how I'm always going to view it. You could say it's antiquated thinking, Blake. I'm just telling you that's how I view it. I love my basketball and all five games all day long on Christmas Day and night. On Thanksgiving, not only do we have one game in Dallas, another game in Detroit, but we also have that third game now at night. I will take football on Thanksgiving, basketball on Christmas.
What the NFL wants, the NFL gets.
Yes.
It is at the point where it is the NFL's world, and we are just living in it. I thought at one point the NFL was going to cannibalize itself. I really did, because I feel like you're saturating the market. Like, at what point does there become too much football? And I feel like once you start to reach that level, there's too much football. You know what? We're going to add sports gambling. We're going to include that. Oh, all of a sudden, you got a little bit of juice there. Mm-hmm. You got a little bit more interest. Oh, we got the daily fantasy, more gambling. And now the two are married to the point that the NFL, it's kind of like college taking over on Friday night. I hate it. Friday night.
Yeah, I know.
Friday night is high school.
Friday night lights.
Friday night is high school football.
Kids. Yes.
Yeah, Friday night is high school football. I don't mind the NFL taking a game on Christmas Day, but the thing about the NFL is it doesn't matter who it is. It could be the Browns and the Panthers. It's going to pull monster ratings because of gambling. You got a little bit of skin in the game, as they used to say. You're going to get the casuals that are going to watch. You got, we're going to look at a few parlays. It's like you are now bringing those casuals into a meaningless regular season game between teams that are absolute garbage, but it's the NFL. It's the brand. The NFL is, it's not the game. It's not the quality of the game. It's the brand of the NFL, and that is what sells.
I think it's both, because it's definitely the quality, because I'm not watching the USF, all those other leagues. The quality of those leagues is trash.
Oh yeah, but those are secondary leagues. Anything within the NFL,
the quality though.
Yeah, but
that speaks to quality.
I mean,
to compare it versus something.
If you put a Browns Panthers game out there in primetime,
yep, It's better than any other football that you're going to watch.
Exactly, but it's still the NFL. I mean, when you compare the NFL against anything that it could be competing against, mm-hmm. I'm not even putting the UFL or the USFL or the XFL or, you know, IFL, whatever. It's not even close.
Yeah.
But when you're talking about the NFL and anything else that might be considered professional sports, you put that head-to-head, it doesn't matter the quality of the two teams in the NFL. They are going to draw monster ratings because it's the NFL, the brand.
Oh, you mean the quality of the matchup?
The matchup within the NFL.
I got you. The NFL. Yeah, yeah. I was saying like the NFL, the quality is there with the – so I told you we're on the same page now.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, so I'm with you. All right, 651-461-9226. Coming up next, speaking of football, let's talk some football with Matthew Collar, the Purple Insider. He joins us next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
He's back. He's joining us here on the Lake Show, courtesy of the John Schuster Coal Banker Hotline, Matthew Collar. How you been, Matt?
Oh, not too bad. I feel like today was one of those summer is coming, spring type of days, beautiful, and I'm just sitting here kind of waiting around for some football things to happen.
You a golf guy?
Big golf guy, yeah.
Oh, how often do you get out and golf?
I would say at least once a week, maybe sometimes twice in the summertime if I can wrangle enough people to go out and golf with me.
Have you golfed this week at all?
This week's been nasty.
That's the reason why I asked the questions, because to me, if you found an opportunity to golf this week, you're an addict, like, you know, the Chad Hartmans of the world.
I am not on the level of Chad Hartman, either in skill or in dedication. I would say that I fall under the amateur casual, but, like, I really like it. When I get my opportunities to go out and play, I really enjoy it, but there's no way that I'm putting on, like, extra layers and stuff, or if I have to bring a umbrella, I'm just not going to play. Like, if there's any weather, it's not going to happen. I played on draft day, and it was kind of a little bit gnarly, and I was just like, let's not do that again. Let's just wait till it's really nice out, then I'm good.
Yeah, that's crazy. All right, so let's talk some football. In the redone open, the name J.J. McCarthy comes up. How would you, because, you know, now we're, you know, fans are thinking about, okay, who we took in the draft, how we're going to proceed as we get to training camp. There's going to be a lot of time until we get to TCO. But the bottom line is, what do you feel like here in the offseason that confidence in JJ is heading into the summer?
I mean, I think it's very, very, very high. You know, the biggest thing that they had to see was, how does he come back for offseason workouts once he gets cleared to do the on-field stuff? That didn't happen until January. I mean, that's just shows you how severe that surgery is when you do the full meniscus repairs, that he wasn't able to get back on the field and start really practicing until January. And then when you're doing the off-season workout stuff, there's a little bit of throwing that they're allowed to do. And we were out there for one day to see McCarthy throw. And so they're going to take a look at that. But really, it's what's coming up in the next 3 weeks, which is the OTAs and mini camp, that they're going to have a good ability to evaluate him. But I think the number one thing was just, can he get that weight back up, which he was able to do? And how is he approaching coming back into the building? Because last year he's a rookie, so he's having to learn what his passcode is to get in the building and where to park and where to live and all that sort of stuff. And Sam Darnold was the guy. And I remember in OTAs last year that we were saying, like, oh, okay, well, Sam Darnold took every single first team rep, and then he did so in minicamp as well. And like, all right, well, that's where we're starting. Now he walks back into the building as the guy and is being talked about You know, we were out there for workouts a few weeks ago, and the players are saying, like, we're all in on J.J. McCarthy is our guy. So I know O'Connell didn't want to make any silly QB1 declarations, and he certainly doesn't have to do that, but it is so obvious that, you know, he is coming in as, hey, we drafted you to take this franchise to another level, and so let's see how this works out. And also, I feel like the minute he got back in the building, they were completely done with all the Aaron Rodgers conversation. So it's like, all right, okay, he's the same guy that he was before, and off we go.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, because you've been around him. I haven't. What is your read on his confidence? Like, is he a guy with swagger? Is he a guy that has quiet confidence? What type of guy is he? I'm not, you know, expecting him to be, you know, Shedeur Sanders or anything like that, whatever. But how do you read him?
Yeah. Well, so yesterday the Vikings put out a video where he was talking with Paul Allen. The owner of the team, Mark Wilf, was talking with Paul Allen, and he was asked about J.J. McCarthy, and he used the term gravitational pull for his leadership, that just there's a magnetism to him, that people are galvanized by him and his energy. And I think that that's a really good description of what I've seen, because even as something as small as an off-season workout, J.J. McCarthy bounces around that field with so much energy, connecting with every player, dapping people up, pumping up his teammates, stuff like that. And you pick up on that instantly when he gets out there. But also, you know, pass or fail on a lot of the drills last year, you would see his intensity when they would succeed, and his frustration when, like, I think he's a real true competitor. And when you have that natural, it's not fake, it's not forced, it's a true competitor is what you are, then I think that guys like Justin Jefferson, TJ Hockenson, like the guys who have done this before, and the defensive guys, like they're going to buy into that when they see somebody, because they know what that looks like. And then when you listen to J.J. McCarthy talk, you really see his maturity in doing this. I mean, it's easy to forget when he's talking, whether, you know, it's a TV interview or it's a press conference or whatever, that he is only 22 years old. But, you know, this is a league now where quarterbacks come in mature. Jaden Daniels last year, we saw it from C.J. Stroud. Like, there are so many resources for these guys to start this process earlier than they ever did before. I think we're seeing him as like a new age quarterback who's ready to take this on by the time he arrives here.
Yeah. We're talking to I just love it, man, because to me, I love that we're talking about J.J. and that we're not talking about A-Rod. Like, I'm so glad that we're over that, and I'm so glad that we are about to start the J.J. McCarthy era. We're talking to the Purple Insider himself, Matthew Collar, here on the Lake Show, courtesy of the John Schuster Coal Banker Hotline. One of the things I want to ask you about is, you know, the talk over the course of the last week has been about the tush push and the Eagles and all the. Well, a lot of people thought that it was going to eventually get banned. Did not get enough votes. It was not banned. Your thoughts on it not being banned?
I'm perfectly fine with that. Just because something works really well for one team and everybody else can't stop it is not a justification for banning it. And I know some people have said it's an ugly play, but there's been QB sneaks in football since the very beginning of this sport. There's QB sneaks every week. Not a single one of them is ever beautiful. And yet, like, you're not banning the QB sneak in general. Now, if they wanted to say that it was dangerous for players to push each other from behind, I think I'd listen to that, but they need to show me some data on that, because I don't remember ever seeing anybody get hurt who's a runner that has an offensive lineman push him into the end zone or something. Usually those plays are almost dead anyway when the guys are pushing at somebody. So there was no real justification other than we're all mad that the Eagles keep succeeding with this. And the other data says that nobody else really does at an above average level, that it's the same as all other quarterback sneaks. So my thought was, well, you know, did they tell Dante Culpepper not to throw the football so high because Randy Moss would catch it? Like, you can't, just because you can't stop it is not a reason to get rid of it.
I'm with you.
It seemed to be a big debate topic, but I just think that the Eagles deserve a ton of credit. And I also think the referees got to figure out a way to spot that football a little bit better and a little bit more fair, because I think that's been part of the reason they've succeeded, is that the Eagles seem to understand that there's a huge pile there and they're getting more benefit of the doubt, when sometimes you're like, I don't know that he actually got it, but they didn't really have a choice.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. Let's turn our attention to something else. And actually, I'm going to read you a quote. The quote is, just to think about the chance of playing in the Olympics and getting a gold medal is a dream. That from Justin Jefferson, the Viking star receiver, about playing flag football at the L.A. Summer Games in 2028. I don't give a damn about flag football, to be honest with you. I really don't. Like, I'm not trying to hate on it, but like, to me, I don't care that they want to do this in the Olympics, and I definitely don't want to see star players in the National Football League be a part of this. Your thoughts?
I love that flag football has become so huge with kids, because not everyone can play the physical version of football, and not everyone is comfortable with the safety issues around that. It gives so many kids more opportunities to play flag football. I love that. And putting it in the Olympics just puts it a little more at center stage for more young people to, you know, 8 years old to say, I want to play flag football. To me, that's awesome. And I love that. But I want Justin Jefferson to keep dreaming about it and to not ever step on a flag football field. Even when they do it at the Pro Bowl, I'm like, I don't know, Jim. Like, I don't like this. You know, like,
I'm with you.
I'm not. I don't like Justin. The idea of Justin Jefferson flying up over some guy from New Zealand who undercuts him and he falls crashing to the ground. I don't like that at all. But, you know, I mean, look, if there's some practice squad guys that want to play, that's fine. And they can put whoever at quarterback, right? You can't touch the quarterback. So, sure. Like, send Mahomes and a bunch of guys on the practice squads of other teams who are good at flag football. But I want nothing to do with that for Justin Jefferson.
Are you invested at all in the Timberwolves playoff run?
Oh, of course, yeah. I've watched every minute of every game, and I am going to start doing that very soon right now.
What's your thoughts on tonight?
I think that they have a great chance to bounce back. The thing that got overshadowed in that last game, because they were fouling, in finger quotes, SGA so often, was that they just missed a ton of open shots. And we've seen this from the Wolves before. They lost that Warriors game to start that series because they missed a bunch of open shots. And that's also just life in the NFL now, which is, look, if you make your open threes, you win. And if you miss them, you lose. And they just missed them. So I think they'll get it back together tonight. I also think it's going to be very hard to win this series. OKC is unbelievable on defense, and they're deep and they're young, and it's a really good team. What do they win? 68 games in the regular season? This isn't some regular old basketball team they're facing. This is a lot of talent. So
absolutely. SGA just got the MVP tonight too.
Yeah, I went OKC in seven, but you know, we'll see.
Take care of the basketball, please. Stop turning it over. That really bugs me with the Wolves. I mean, this is, it's super frustrating. You can't back down guys in this series. OKC is too good of a core defensively to be doing the back down one-on-one. So you got to move the basketball. I had Trent Tucker. He talked about that at 7 o'clock. Last thing, were you in attendance last night watching the Lynx play the Dallas Wings?
Yes, and I missed the ending to the Indiana Knicks game because of it, but I was there, yes.
Man, I mean, it just – I love Paige Beckers. I love the Lynx. It's going to be fun to watch this entire season. I love everything about the WNBA, and of course you're going to support it because Sloan Martin is about as good of a voice as you're going to find in the WNBA.
Well, I appreciate that, and I also think, she's having a blast doing it, of course, and it's really fun. You know, people should get that. Download the Lynx app. Great way to listen to the games and listen to Sloan doing it. But I think Paige Beckers is in for a very long season. That Dallas team stinks. They do not have any other scorers that they can rely on except Arike Ogunbowale, who wants to shoot every single time she touches the basketball. It's going to be a long rookie season, I think.
Yeah. Hey, man, you're the best. I appreciate the time tonight, Matthew.
Thanks, Henry. Appreciate you.
All right, go Wolves. That's Matthew Collar, the Purple Insider, joining us here on The Late Show. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll get the headlines. That's next. All right, it's time to get into headlines. Hey, quickly, though, they have tipped off in OKC. Wolves are trailing to start 6-5. But Scott Foster got just crushed on a jump ball. They had to stop play because he was bleeding all over the court. But yeah, officials taking L's already tonight.
Yeah, it's because Lou Dort assaulted him.
Eject Lou Dort. That's what I tweeted.
Eject Lou Dort. Lou Dort. You can't spend Dort without T. I mean, come on. Lugazort Dort. Come on. You can't just blatantly take a shot in an official like that. Jump ball.
Get him out of here.
That's right. As Wally Carbo would say, you got to be fined and suspended for that. All right. Hey, anyways, if you're having a hard time, Scott Foster, I got an idea for you. You come up to Minnesota, get some of them THC drinks that we got, because that could pack a bigger buzz that could help you get over your bloody nose and your eye and whatever, because they've got the 2-serving labels under legislation that cleared the state capitol over the weekend. Minnesota law allows the sale of drinks with up to 10 milligrams of hemp-derived THC in a single can, as long as they're marketed as containing 2 5-milligram servings.
Yep. Get your double on, baby.
That's right. Hey, yeah, as long as it's marked, it's okay. Now, Minnesota Craft Brewers Industry and Governmental Guide Bob Galligan told Axios that those higher potency products are, quote, by far the most sought after by consumers, and that the stronger drinks are often sold in the same 12 to 16 ounce cans as the lower dose 5 milligrams. Now, Galligan says that has led to confusion among health conscious consumers comparing nutrition labels for calories and sugar. A cannabis policy bill heading for Governor Tim Walz's desk lifts the labeling requirement, allowing both 5 milligram and 10 milligram cans to be sold as one serving on the shelves.
I like it. I like it. You can get creative with it, but the bottom line is you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, I mean, I've got no problem. And I think the 10 milligrams, I think that's absolutely, I think that's a great way to go with it. I really do.
Yeah.
Hey, after his best friend and 4 other of his fellow death row inmates have been put to death in less than a year, a South Carolina inmate wants to become his own attorney, which could likely mean his own execution in weeks or even months. A federal judge has ordered a 45-day delay in James Robertson's request to have a different lawyer talk to him and make sure he really wants to fire his own attorneys and deal with the likely lethal consequences of his decision. The 51-year-old Robertson has been on death row since 1999 after killing both of his parents in their Rock Hill home, beat his father with a claw end of a hammer and a baseball bat, and stabbed his mother.
Oh.
He tried to make it look like a robbery in hopes that he would get part of their $2.2 million estate. Now, Robertson has fired his own attorneys before. Since no ethical attorney, they say, will withdraw an appeal that will result in their client's execution, he was ready to represent himself. They said that his best friend on death row, Marion Bowman, was included as he was killed by lethal injection on January 31st.
Jeez, he's hanging with the wrong crowd.
Yeah, that's wild to think that that you are volunteering to die. Hey, and finally, Parks and Rec's cast members Amy Poehler and Catherine Hahn have revealed that they made up a fake spinoff show, but it was never made. Poehler, who starred as Leslie Knope in the U.S. government mockumentary that aired from 2009 to 2015, said in a current episode of her Good Hang podcast that Park and Recreation actors, including Rashida Jones, Adam Scott, and Paul Rudd.
I love me some Rashida Jones.
Oh, she's...
That's my girl. She's
a cat's meow right there.
Oof.
They were involved in dreaming up a joke show called Philly Justice while
she's
shooting...
She's one of my exes.
Yeah, well, good for you. Good for you.
I'm serious.
Well, good for you.
We did it a few years ago.
Yeah, there you go. Proud of you.
I'm serious.
You dated Rashida Jones?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got pictures.
That Rashida Jones?
Yeah.
Okay. I'd like to see him.
Okay.
Hahn, who appeared in 10 episodes of Parks and Recs as a D.C. political consultant, Jennifer Barclay, between 2012 and 2015, said the idea was born when they were filming a court scene while dressed in suits and posed for photo with their arms folded. We had like businessy outfits on. I think we were going to go to court or something. Poehler explained, we pretended we were on a fake TV show called Philly Justice. We all crossed our arms. That became a text chain as the actors. She continued, I remember thinking, I can't believe how lucky I am that I'm working with people who also want to do this dumb thing, because dumb things are a love language, in a way proves safety. If you're relaxed enough to do fun, dumb things, then you're in the right place.
I love this. That's funny, because you're getting people to buy into something that isn't necessarily real.
It's ridiculous. And sometimes the best things, the most fun you have with people are when you're doing the dumb things.
Yeah.
That's the greatest, because it's organic. And you're like, I can't believe I got somebody who's, you know, Well, like Mr. Perfect's son, Hank Hennig.
Mm-hmm.
We were in Waterloo, Iowa last year. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning, and you know, we had both imbibed. But we were, his mom was like, I bet you guys wouldn't get into that little like toy car. And we got into this little like thing that kids, it's great. Do dumb things on a whim. It's awesome.
You like this picture of us hanging out?
Where's the ring?
Ring? No ring. I'm
no
not
ring.
Married.
Okay.
All right. Final hour of the Lake Show coming up next. We'll talk about somebody's father who should deal with their consequences.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.